We have been looking at the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Over the last couple of months, we've had a lot of special activities coming up or in the past and coming up, but I've been looking in the Sermon on the Mount through the summer and some of the precious words of Jesus. Jesus' words are powerful, and they are very deep. And when you sit with your heart open, whether that means your Bible open in front of you or just sitting in a traffic stop or at work, or when you lay down at night and you begin to open your heart to the words of Jesus, they are amazingly powerful. And they have something to say to us. I believe that the Sermon on the Mount, every paragraph, every section has something to say to us. And I believe that about what I want to share this morning. The words are deep. Often they touch some of the deepest places in our lives where we probably wrestle, where we sometimes struggle, where sometimes we wonder, how do I put that into practice? And how does my life intersect the words of Jesus? I believe in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus helps us to see situations in our lives where he can help us and speak to us. In the Sermon on the Mount, I think of it like this. Jesus is explaining the heart of God and the deeper things of life. And all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit applies it to your heart, it becomes fresh, it becomes real. It's getting at the bottom of some of the things that really matter in our lives. And every time we hear the words of Jesus, that comes to my heart and my mind. 3 weeks ago, we read the words, "But I say unto you, anyone who is angry with his brother..." And Jesus started with that. He started with anger for the brother. Anybody that's angry, "But I say unto you." And then he went through this list of ways that relationships are expressed. And then kind of worked his way through till finally he talked about resolving conflicts with people and how God wants us to have a heart that resolves conflicts. Very relational. What Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount is relational. The next things that he says is about relationships, our relationship with one another, our relationship with God, but they really are deep and they get to the core and the value. In verse 28, we read last time, "You have heard it hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery." And then we read the deeper things that Jesus talked about how we understand our sexuality and how we understand the importance and the meaning and the value of what God has created to be beautiful. And again, he started with the outward thing and then he moved to the deepest places of the heart. And so when Jesus says, "But I say unto you," he is looking at the heart. He is looking at the heart. And when you read these words in the Sermon on the Mount, I would recommend that what you would do is say, "God, help me to understand what's going on in my heart. Help me to know where the battle line is. Help me to know where the place is that this touches something inside of me. And I need to hear. Lord, peel away those layers of who I am. Maybe peel away the outward appearances so that you can put your finger down on that pulse of the heart, on that beating part of who I am, that part that drives me. And God, you can apply what you say to the deepest place in my heart." These certainly are heart issues of being like Jesus. I also think of the picture in the scriptures of the potter and the clay. When I think of the Sermon on the Mount, I think about the picture of the potter sitting at the wheel and taking the clay and turning the wheel and beginning to shape it and form it. And I think that's what God wants to do with us. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is sitting at the wheel and he's shaping. He's speaking to issues of who we are and how we function and what we look like and how we respond. Heart issues. I think of the chorus that goes with this picture. "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." Every time we open the scriptures, we need to be yielded and still before the Spirit of God. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 5. I invite you to read along if you would like to. Verse 38 this morning. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 38 to 48. If you want to follow along and listen to the heart of God. Listen to the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I want us to think this morning about these words of Jesus, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus, of course, is quoting from the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. God gave to Moses many laws, and it was laws to govern the people of Israel, to govern people whose relationships often were broken and who often turned away from God. And the law of Moses, you might think of it as being like a corral that God was creating to give a sense of community, to give a sense of normalness to God's people, that if they followed the laws, then there would be far more harmony in Israel and the people would be closer to the heart of God. And so an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was a law that God gave, and the purpose was it to be a law of justice. He knew that people would at times hurt each other. Things would happen, sometimes intentional, sometimes unintentional. And so in the law of Moses, you have a number of laws that are spelled out, and we kind of think of them as that category of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but it was to be a law of justice. It really was for this society of the Old Testament day that was a violent society, and both the Israelite people and the people around them were harsh people in many ways, and God gave this law, an eye for an eye, to kind of to help them to deal with accidents and to deal with people that did intentional things to each other. It was a violent society, and God gave these laws as guiding principles to compensate people when they were hurt by others. And so that's kind of the background of it. There wasn't a lot of mercy to it. If somebody hurt you or hurt your animal or did something unintentional that harmed you, then they were supposed to pay the same price that you did, and they were supposed to be compensated fairly. The idea of an eye for an eye is that it would be a limit to the violence. It would keep people from just going and doing whatever they wanted to when they've been hurt by somebody. It was a restriction in order to give order to the community. There was no mercy in this part of the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Again, it was to limit violence. But what it became over time was really a justification for people to take revenge. And if somebody hurt you, you had a right to go out and hurt them. And then if you hurt them, then they had a right to go out and hurt you. And you can see how the cycle of violence continues, the cycle of hatred. And this is exactly what's going on in our world today. You think of the Palestinian and the Israeli conflict, and you have these thousands of years of this unending cycle of anger and hostility and violence. It all goes back to way back there when these events took place that are recorded in the Bible, and you have this perception of justice called eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Even by Jesus' day, it had become very painful and it had become a cycle of revenge. And the concept eye for an eye had become, in Jesus' day, a justification to basically take justice in your own hands. And so it just led to further and further conflict. And instead of resolving conflict, it led to further conflict. And as we talked about 3 weeks ago, when Jesus said, you have heard And we talked about do not be angry at your brother, he said. Again, he got to the bottom of that, which was in resolving conflicts. Well, this part of what Jesus said also is about resolving conflicts. And what do we do when somebody hurts us? And of course, we can think of examples of war and violence and kind of on a national scale or a world scale. But Jesus is also going to the conflicts that we have with each other. How do we view people that we have a conflict with? What do we do about that? Do we have an attitude that says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and I'm going to get them back? And that's really what the concept of an eye for an eye is. And the human heart hardened to God, this cycle of anger and hostility and hatred and in places violence has no limit. And it just continues to get worse and worse, as it does in the hostilities that we see around the world today. It leads to a never-ending cycle of revenge and anger and emptiness and pain and death. And God would tell us that man without God is trapped in this condition. Man is trapped in this condition of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, unless man turns to the heart of God. He's trapped in this condition, but God tells us that there's a better way to live. There's a better way for us to view people that hurt us. There's a better way for us to deal with the hurt and the anger that we have on the inside. And the Apostle Paul said it so well in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, one of the most quoted passages in the Bible. And now I will show you the most excellent way, Paul says. I'm going to show you something better. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus shows us something better. This is Paul's words before as the love chapter opens up where it says love never fails. Paul was saying that instead of all that anger and hostility and relationships and that stuff we hold on to and we hold against people and sometimes we take actions based on those feelings and we allow these walls to be up between people, God says, I can show you something better. I'll show you something that works better, something that helps you more, and that is that you understand what love is. And so Jesus talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount and how we deal with people that hurt us, how we deal with conflict and how we view. This is the only power that overcomes the pain that we have sometimes in life. And Jesus can help us when we hurt. These words that Jesus says, when he says, you've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus says, but I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to tell you something that's deep. I'm going to tell you something that can really help you when you have conflict in your life. Jesus says, I say unto you, and he gives a powerful and a great challenge to us to understand the power of love. Love is a powerful force. And Jesus says, when you have it, when it's who you are and it's a part of your nature and you're open to the love of God, then the way that you view people that are hurtful will be different. I say unto you, Jesus said. The first thing that he says is do not resist an evil person. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each of these four things that Jesus says here, but this is the first thing that he says. Do not resist an evil person. I believe that Jesus is telling us that if your first reaction is to fight when you have a situation that somebody is hurting you or has hurt you, if your first reaction is to fight back, that's not the reaction that will bring the best in that situation. The second one, turn the other cheek. We kind of have the idea, this picture of Jesus is telling us, if somebody comes up and slugs you in the right side of your head, after you get up off the floor, you turn and say, okay, do it again. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. The term, strike the cheek, is a Middle Eastern term that meant if somebody insults you, do not strike them back. If somebody says something to you that hurts your feelings or that is offensive to you or that really is wrong to you, don't let your first reaction be, okay, I'm gonna come back at you. It's as if Jesus is saying, that's going to happen. Your first reaction is, okay, insult me again. I'm still not going to rise up with a fist and fight you back. That's the heart of what Jesus is saying about turning the other cheek, is that that we must have an attitude and a spirit within us that will resolve conflicts with people, not easily go to that place where we would strike them back. Turn the other cheek. Again, that doesn't mean that Jesus is saying that if somebody's going to violently hurt you, that you let them do that. That's not what this is about. This is about insult. It's about offense. And Jesus says, turn the other cheek. The third one, let them have your cloak also. If they take your inner garment, let them have your coat too. Actually, it's not the word coat, although it sounds like it. It's the word for a garment that people wore when they went home and they went to bed. It was their nighttime outfit. The cloak was. So Jesus says, if they're going to take your garment, let them have the second one too. Don't hold on to it. And then the one that we probably think of and we hear a lot, or you've heard many times before, about go the extra mile. Again, these are four things Jesus says. Again, they're all about how do we deal with people that hurt us? How do we deal with offenses? How do we deal with somebody that has done wrong to us, either intentionally or we've been wronged by someone? How do we look at them, the demands that they make? Go with them 2 miles. I mean, on the surface, you think, well, what is Jesus thinking about? This phrase, of course, comes from a very specific law that existed in Jesus' day, and it was Roman law. The Roman law was this. The Roman soldiers who occupied the country had certain things they were allowed to do and they were not allowed to do. One thing that a Roman soldier could demand of any citizen is that if they were carrying a heavy load and they came across a citizen, they could make that person help them carry the load only for 1 mile. And then they had to release the person and they went back. That's the background of this rule. Jesus said, if somebody compels you to go 1 mile, it was from, I mean, we don't know that without hearing the story because we didn't live in that day, but that was a law that all the people understood. They understood what it meant to go a mile. And so what Jesus was saying is, if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, instead of saying, well, my rights are that I only have to go 1 mile and then I'm finished with you, you can't make me go anymore, Jesus is saying, we go further. We go further than we have to. We go further than our rights. We go further than can be demanded by us. We go further. We walk farther. We try harder. We try again and again. We turn the other cheek when we're offended. We're not quick to react. We don't strike out at that person. Jesus is setting a bar very high for how we deal with conflict and how we deal with people that hurt us, going the extra mile. And then he says, give to him who asks. Again, Jesus is talking about kindness, patience, the fruit of the Spirit, doing more than you have to. You know, sometimes you might ask the question when we're in a tough situation, well, do I have to do this? Jesus is telling us that when people have hurt us, that it's not that we have to do this. It's that Jesus is telling us that we will be blessed if we will do this. We will understand the heart of God, and God will help us to deal with a situation that's difficult. Wherever you're at in life, whether you're a young person in school and there's somebody at school that's a bully, or there's somebody at school that does something that hurts you or rubs you the wrong way, the words of Jesus apply to you. The heart that God can give you helps you to overcome evil. Overcome evil with good, Jesus said. In every part of life, every part of relationships, the question is, as we wrestle with what is Jesus saying here, is what will it take to follow Jesus? What's it going to take for us to really understand the heart of God? What's it going to take? Another way to say it is, as we consider the depth of Jesus' words, how far will you follow Jesus? What does it mean when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me? Being a Christ-like person means going further. It means having an attitude and a spirit and a reaction and words to people that is not like the world. You think of what Jesus did and all that he put up with and all he took, and yet he tells us over and over again about turning the other cheek and other scriptures that talk about how he wants us to respond with love to people, even that hurt us. It will take patience. It will take humility. It will take waiting on God. So this first thing that Jesus says is about relationship. And then so is the second one in verse 43. Number two, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, again, this is one of the hardest sayings of Jesus. It's one of those things of many that Jesus says that's hard to take. It's kind of hard to understand. It's kind of hard to say, what do you mean, Jesus? You've heard it's been said, love your neighbor. All of them knew that. Love your neighbor, yeah, that was part of the law. And that was true. But you know how the Jews began to interpret that and take that as, you know, I only had to love certain people. I only had to love people that I liked. I only had to love people that always did right. I only have to love people that never messed up or never hurt me. But Jesus gives a whole different standard. You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Actually, nowhere in the law did it say hate your enemy, but that's what it became. It's okay to hate people. It's okay to hate people that are hurt you. It's okay to have enemies and feel animosity in your heart, and it's always us versus them, and, you know, they're going to pay. And Jesus said, that's what you're hearing, but I'm going to tell you something different. I'm going to give you a different standard. I'm going to give you something totally different. And then those three words that I'm sure for those disciples when they heard this in the Sermon on the Mount had to grab their attention, and maybe for us too when we start thinking about this. Love your enemies. Wow. Love your enemies? Okay, let's just stop right here. Who's my enemy? Who is? I mean, ask the question, who's my neighbor? So who's my enemy? Who is it that I heard about? Who is it that I have feelings about? Who is it that long ago or recently has done something that hurts me? And Jesus says, love your enemies. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our own strength. We can only do it when we have the love of God that flows in us and through us to be like Jesus. We can only do it when we give God's authority in our spirit and our heart and our life when somebody's hurt us. If our heart and our right is in the our heart and our mind is in the right place, God can help us. God can help us to love our enemies. Whoever you call an enemy, God can help you to love that person that's most unlovable in your life. God can help you to have a heart that loves your enemy. Number two, he said, pray for your enemy. Pray for your enemy. You know, did Jesus do that? Did Jesus pray for his enemies? I'm thinking of the times that Jesus was surrounded by enemies. He didn't lash out at them. He could have. You can't change your enemy, but God can. You can't change that person that hurts you, but by the power of God's love, they can be changed. And so many times I think of the scripture that says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. When somebody's angry and hostile towards you, what is God's counsel? God's counsel is a soft answer turneth away wrath. God can somehow take that principle and work that in the heart of someone who has hurt you. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Again, somebody's out to hurt you. Somebody's out to get you. Remember the words of Jesus, pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. You can't change them, but God can. God can work, God can protect, God can be with you, God can give you guidance and help you. There is great power in praying for those that hurt us. There's great power in loving our enemies. There's great power in forgiveness. I think of the great power of forgiveness. I think of the picture of Jesus on the cross. And he's on the cross and they were making fun of him and they were ridiculing him and mocking him. And what does he do? What does he say? I mean, who is this Jesus? What does he say? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. I don't think Jesus was saying they don't know they're being mean. He didn't mean that. They knew that. What was he saying? He's saying they're lost. So pray for them. Father, forgive them. Jesus gives us the example of how we're to look at people that hurt us. And it's a powerful picture. There is great power in forgiveness. Even in the Lord's Prayer, in part that is recorded in the next chapter in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, we read these words, "Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." There's an unleashing of God's love and God's grace when we choose to forgive. And it's a powerful picture, a powerful story. God can give you the strength to love your enemy. God can give you the strength to forgive. God can give you the strength to see people as He does. Pray that God will draw close to you and help you. Pray that the Father in heaven will help you. Jesus invites us to the Father. I think of the power of forgiveness in a practical way, and most of you have dealt with situations in your life where you've had to choose to forgive. You have confronted in yourself the decision to forgive. Most of you have probably come to the place to know in your heart that you need to forgive, and you've done that. Sometimes that takes a long time. Sometimes that's a process. It doesn't change feelings. When you choose to forgive someone, it doesn't mean that God takes away the feelings of hurt that you feel on the inside. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. Forgiveness does not mean that God will wipe away everything that you feel about the situation. But God does something in you when you forgive. God helps your heart and your spirit. God can change you when you forgive. I think of what happened in our state many years ago now. It's been a long time. You probably recognize and see from that picture what I'm referring to, but the man that went into the school in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, very close to where I used to live, went into that school and shot those children, and how we heard bits and pieces of that story. And we don't always know what's all true that comes out in the news, but we did hear of the families that came together, of those that were shot, and they publicly said that they forgive. I'm sure that was a process, and I'm sure that wasn't easy. But you know, it's possible. It's possible to forgive the big things, and it's probably even more important to forgive the little things in life, because the little things add up. The little things create these little walls. And if we don't take care of those walls, then the next wall, the next layer's on top. You know, a brick wall, you know, you go out, you look at the outside of the church. I was looking at the side of the building yesterday and looking at the brick layers, and I realized that, you know, that wall went up a little bit at a time. Every layer, mortar was in there and the bricks were laid and it got hard, and now it's very hard today. That's the way it is. If we let little things accumulate in our lives, the wall gets higher. And Jesus calls us to a different standard. Jesus calls us to understand the heart of the Father. Verse 45 says, "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Jesus says that when we are able to forgive, when we're able to see people, our enemies, like Jesus did, then we understand the Father. We understand the heart of God. "Be therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." The standard is high. It's enormously high. And it calls every Christian, every believer, to humility, to being the clay that's molded by God, to say, "Jesus, today, what do you want to do about the hurts in my life? What do you want to do about those in my life that have hurt me?" And Jesus can help you to deal with it. There's a very simple song that we've sung in this service several times. We're going to sing two verses. The words are going to be on the screen. I just want to invite you to stand with me this morning and think about this thought as we sing together, "I have decided to follow Jesus." There are times in your life that you have got to put the stake down of who you are and how you're going to live. And when you're hurt, that's one of them. When you've been hurt by somebody, that's one place that you've got to do that. Am I going to allow the world and evil to take over my heart and my life? Or am I going to come back to the heart of God and say, "God, help me with this. Jesus, help me to understand your heart." The truth is, this is about being like Jesus. This is about learning from the heart of Jesus about how we handle things in our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to understand your heart. Help us to understand the heart of Jesus. And Lord, in this area, when life sometimes gets painful and maybe ugly, and Lord God, when we struggle with someone that's hurt us, help us, God, to hear the words of Jesus in the heart of God. Help us to follow the more excellent way. Help us to take the path of love instead of the path of anger and hostility. God, help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to be like Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless.